Maintaining a strong relationship with your teenager may seem difficult, but it's absolutely mandatory. We cannot allow ourselves to lose our teens. We have to work at it.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. This week, we're talking about helping you as the parent. If you have a teenager or preparing to have a teenager, it's a difficult season for many parents, and obviously all teenagers have their own difficulties to go through, but there is a way to get ready for it and to deal with it as well.
Do you think, as a mother of teenagers yourself, do you think that people freak us out before we even get there? Do you think we go into the parenting of teenagers wondering how this is going to be miserable, how am I going to get through it?
Yeah. I think society, like everywhere you go, people just kind of tell, oh, well, teens this, teens that. And we remember when we were teens. Sometimes many of us were disastrous and we think, oh, well, how smart are they going to be? Can they really figure out how to skip school these days since everything's electronic? and you think, well, I figured it out when I was a teenager. Absolutely. I'm sure that they are smart enough too. Things like that. And we start to freak out.
If we have those conversations with ourselves and if we're married with our spouses, what would we do if they skipped school? What would we do if we found this in their room? And as horrible as that sounds, you know, we thought through, what will we do to help them get through potty training? You know, we thought through the other things. Why do we just, all of us, are we surprised when teenagers act like teenagers? I do think first, yes, we are freaked out. Even Mark Twain said the teenagers, they ought to be put in a barrel, fed through a tube. And when they hit, I don't remember what age he said, let them loose from the barrel or something like that.
More disastrous.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Teenage years are the practice years of beginning to practice some adult things. And the fact that they have some freedom shouldn't shock us. But I think for some reason, as parents, we don't talk through the potential of what could happen. You know, what happens when we take her to let her go to a party? And we've talked about parties before. But so what happens if we get to the party and the things we told her shouldn't happen? Tori, when you go to this party, if all of a sudden anybody shows up, drugs or alcohol, if all of a sudden the parents aren't there, call me, we'll come and get you. And then my wife, who was perfect all her life, why wouldn't she have called us? I'm in shock. Where I'm pretty much, I wouldn't have called you. I got to see what you're going to do. Why aren't we prepared for these things so we don't overreact and don't go crazy? Or worse yet, we don't want to even know, so we don't go in the bedrooms. Mm. You know, the shooters at Columbine, one of them was a boy named Eric Harris. I believe in a blending family, and declared his bedroom, it was either his bedroom or his garage, I can't remember reading the study, off limits, and they weren't allowed in there. Well, wait a minute. I think I'm paying for this house. This is my house. If they'd have gone in, they would have found out how disturbed this child was by all the ammunition and sawed-off weapons he had in there. Why you're not old enough to have this totally private world, and it's not because I'm snooping, it's because I love you. It's not because necessarily I don't trust you. I don't trust all the input out there. Mm-hmm. And there's a protection, even when they complain. My parents went on and looked at my Facebook, but I think in the heart of hearts, I don't even know how to verbalize this out loud to you. I'm supposed to be mad at you, Mom.
Right.
In the end of the day, thank you.
Right.
Thank you for knowing the pressure that's in my life. No, I'm never going to say
that. Yeah, they'll never say that.
I'm never going to say that, but I know now, having a daughter who's your age, who is grateful I showed up at those parties. It took her till she was in her 30s, but now grateful. And I know now, having a daughter that, whoa, what are you going out the door wearing? That's definitely in the house clothes. That's not out the door. And listening to my daughter, Tori, actually say my exact words to the girls in one of the homes at Sheridan House. Whoa, you're not going to school dressed like that. And realizing I'll take that as a compliment. She's doing the same thing that I did, but they're not going to say it then. It's not cool to say it. They think they want more freedom. No one wants to be taken out in the boat and dropped off in water that's a mile deep. They want to be with a life preserver and on a line so you can pull them back in. But that's what we're doing.
I think we just get shocked sometimes as parents that they want to be all of a sudden so independent. It's almost like they flip a switch and all of a sudden within 2 months' time, they're acting differently.
Yeah.
They're weird around us as parents. It's like, what happened to you? So they want all this independence and you want to be able to give them a little bit so that it can be a training. But then you have to figure out what is that balance and how is this teenager going going to get used to now these new rules because they want their independence, but I'm still mom or dad and I need to protect them with these boundaries.
Yeah. And it's a matter of what's good for them and what's secure for them. And they're seeing things on television that are totally unacceptable in your home. And unfortunately, because it's on television, as parents, we believe our kids when they say, "Mom, everybody talks like this." Not in our home.
Mm-hmm.
Not in our home. And the way parents talk to their children on television, "I don't talk to you like that."
The screaming.
That's the television world.
Right.
This is our world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a different standard here. And I cannot let myself be shaped by the television world. I cannot, if I were to rewrite, which I never would, but if I were to rewrite Romans 12, I would rewrite, "And don't conform to the pattern of the television." because television doesn't define what the culture is. Television is the out front predictor of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we as a culture conform to the way teenagers dress on television, the way they talk about their parents and to their parents. And if a child just watches these things in the afternoon or these soap operas in the afternoon, then all of a sudden they come to believe, "I'm out of it, my parents are out of it, my home's out of it." And so we've got to decide to take it back. We've got to decide to take it back by creating a world for our children where they are precious and valuable, our teens.
Mm-hmm.
You are precious and valuable in this home and as a person, and that as your self-esteem, I love you and I will always love you. I will not judge you by performance or appearance like the culture out there. I will judge you for you. We will work on performance and appearance. It's very interesting when you look at the three temptations of Christ in the wilderness. And the three temptations of Christ were really temptations, and interestingly enough, in the Gospel of Luke, that you can equate over to the teenager all of a sudden, where Christ is launching his ministry and he goes out there, and the temptations are very interesting because one of the temptations, jumping off the pinnacle of the temple, was making a splash here.
Mm-hmm.
Be somebody.
Yeah,
yeah. And Jesus confronts Satan and says, "You know I can test God in the good things. I'm never going to test God in the bad things like that." And come with a splash. "Oh, I will follow him. Look what he's doing." Or the temptation of turning this stone into bread, which is, he'd already turned nothing into bread, or he's about to. I can't remember where that comes. I think he will do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole temptation of being somebody where you do your life again with a splash.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last temptation, which is so unbelievably cool, where if you bow down and worship me, I can give you anything. And it's a call to bow down and worship the culture instead of Christ.
Right.
If we look at those are the temptations we deal with. There's a reason Christ had us see those temptations. There's nobody there doing the dictation on this temptation. He's alone in the wilderness. He comes back and chooses to tell
mm-hmm.
somebody who has done this, that got eventually to Luke when he wrote about it. They're for us to see the temptations of life, but the temptations coming out of the security of childhood, the security of a classroom where you have a surrogate parent all day in elementary school,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden when you're a little awkward with your parents and you need a surrogate parent the most due to the specialization of education, our children now don't have that anymore and they have a different teacher every single hour, which is a horrible system, but a necessary system, again, due to the specialization of education in our schools today. There is a need for that child. Is there anybody that loves me regardless?
Mm-hmm.
And I think some things need to be set up to get that message across, that you are loved regardless of performance.
And I think if you have a teenager at home, sometimes it's hard because, okay, I love you no matter what, your performance, it doesn't matter, your beauty, I'm not judging on that. But boy, when those little anger fits of rage come, and the anger and their behavior at home, you know, you almost want to roll your eyes and say, "Are you kidding me? Come on. How do I deal with this as a parent? I don't know how to deal with this as you're warping. I'm still the same. And how come all of a sudden none of us get along?"
Well, I think we have to do a couple of things. One is I need to draw the line on what's acceptable and what's unacceptable. And when they are out of control, there is a consequence for that. And they need to see every time you're out of control, this, you will have a consequence. I need to build into their system a venue that they won't ask for and won't seem like they appreciate, but I know that they did and I know that they do. And that venue for us, and if you have small children, you can break into this venue anytime, but if you have small children, you build it as a tradition. And I got that from from a story on Susanna Wesley. The Wesley brothers' mom with 17 children, and every child had an hour a week alone with her.
Awesome.
Which is unbelievable. And it might have been an hour a week folding things or doing whatever, I don't know. But I realized I need to work a period of time a week alone with each child. And for us, it would be Wednesday morning breakfast. And I would take Tori to Wednesday morning breakfast every Wednesday morning of her life, unless there was a problem that, you know, it would be rare that I couldn't make that. And we would sit there and we would talk, and I would use that as a time to hear her opinion. And as she was 13 and 14, her opinions were weird, but I would let her process it. I would ask questions. I wouldn't take it on. That was her time, free to have an opinion. And we'd sit at McDonald's on Flamingo Road, and she would slowly realize this is the time I can ask Dad some critical questions. But we built the tradition of that was her time.
Mm-hmm. Didn't some of the things she say shock you, though?
Some of the things she say irritated the snot out of me.
Okay.
And because she's my barbarian child, she would use that time to express opinions that I would want to ask her, what home did you grow up
You're
in?
You're right.
But the advantage, I guess, I have is I realized for 100 years, I've had teenage kids in my office here from Sheridan House, and they would put bizarre things on the table. And because my heart wasn't attached to the person it was coming from, I could listen to it and slowly ask questions to get them, whether they admitted it or not, to realize, for lack of a better word, this is a stupid opinion.
Right.
And so I had to get my head in the right place. Tori's time. This is Tori's time. This is Tori's time. And say, so, okay, help me understand that a little better. And so what I'm hearing you say, and let them slowly process where they would realize, you know what, I don't know how to tell this to my dad, but I guess he's right. I really don't want to go to that party after all. Mm-hmm. And no, when we're out of that venue and we come back and Tori, I think you need to think about this. The end of the day, if it was a party she shouldn't go to, I would not cave. You know, I've let you think about it, come up to your own decision. And I have to say now, Tori, I know we discussed this Wednesday at breakfast, but as your dad, I love you and you're not going to that party. And I know, according to you, the entire school will be there but you. But I don't love the entire school. I love you. I think as we built that Wednesday morning, that became the venue for relationship. Mm-hmm. And because she's so verbal, she would continue, Dad, you remember we talked about this morning? Can I just add one more thing to that? And it would become great. And so that when I would sit on the floor next to her bed at night and we'd be talking, and there would be nights where I'm the only one talking. And then there'd be nights where we're both talking. And then there'd be nights where she'd be talking just to keep me in the room, which is okay. And she had me. I think one of the things our teens need to know the most is they're valuable to us. They're not just an irritant to us. And I think your most difficult teen can tend to think, I think my parents and my family would be happier if I was not around. I am the problem here. And we've got to battle that and can't have a give it up attitude.
And protect that relationship. I mean, you have to do the right thing with the teenager, but also put that relationship in a very high position where you don't want to damage it.
Right.
And, you know, with that girl that talks a lot, sometimes that relationship will just mean you listening, like you said about Tori.
But I think that female child who talked a lot, I wanted to teach her to listen. And I don't have a problem saying, okay, while you're getting oxygen, can I just say something
right
here?
Take a break.
Tell me when you want me to say something, because I do want to express an opinion on this. I think we need to the balance and the hard, difficult thing with our teen is maintaining the relationship we think is in conflict with having boundaries and saying no. And our teen wants us to think that, I knew it. I knew you wouldn't let me go, or I knew you hate me, or I hate it in this house. And not getting caught in that little game and really trying to say, I'm sorry you feel that way right now. Because what we want to say is, I hate you in this house right now too. And we have to not get hooked. We have to not go back to responding in a very adolescent way. Our teen desperately needs us, and we have to battle to keep us in the relationship.
And there's so much more. We're talking about teenage years and how to deal with them on Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, simply go online to shfm.org. Lots of books and resources to help you in this parenting process. And if you want to hear this broadcast again or read the corresponding blog and share it with some fellow parents of teenagers, you can find that at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on Raising Up Your Teenager here on Parenting Today.